bay is that image of a shepherd? What's our practical understanding of that role, living as we do in small town suburbia? You know, for most of us, I expect our only experience of shepherding is accompanied by mint sauce. You know, we don't fully understand that role and what it might be like today. And when we think about Jesus as a shepherd, we may well have a somewhat romanticized view, which is the picture that was up earlier. Thank you. Amanda Owens, who I think is now in her early 40s, runs a 2,000-acre sheep farm in a Yorkshire Dales village. The village is so remote that it's been deserted by all inhabitants, apart from her own large family. Each day she rises at dawn to care for 1,000 sheep and her 7 children, the youngest of whom rides strapped to her body as she strides the wild hills, rounding up her flock with her sheepdogs. All but 2 of the 7 children were born en route to hospital because it's 2 hours away over treacherous roads. She says, it's a gritty job, and unless you can take the wild with the woolly, it's probably not for you. A tough, demanding job, still now as it was 2,000 years ago, both physically and spiritually. So let's just think a little bit about the role of a shepherd, both physically and, as I say, that spiritually. And some of that we've already looked at when Pete was talking earlier. But firstly, that aspect that we've touched on, the fact that a shepherd cares for his sheep. He provides for their needs, food, water, health, everything that they need, and hopefully when they need it at the right time as well. Jesus does that as the good shepherd, doesn't he? Both physically, for each of us who's put our hands into his, and spiritually. Psalm 31, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, because he provides what we need, not necessarily always what we do want in that more modern sense of the word, but he provides the things that we need and feeds us. The word for shepherd, actually in the Hebrew, means to feed. It has the same sense. It's part of the same verb. So the central task of the shepherd is to feed his sheep. Secondly, role of the shepherd is to protect the sheep, whether that's from any kind of danger, that might be weather, predators, wandering over cliffs. And in the same way, Jesus seeks to keep each one of us safe, protects us, again, both physically and spiritually. Psalm 23 in verse 4 says, although I walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, I will not fear. Your rod and staff comfort me. I find it an interesting that it's translated, I haven't looked at what the original word in the Hebrew might have meant, but that the translation that we're most familiar with uses that it's a comfort. The staff in particular would have been used to protect sheep. You know, that thing with the sort of crook on the end would have been to keep the sheep safe, to keep them together, but also to hook them out of danger, or to hook them away from a cliff, or to hook them out of perhaps some mud and whatever that they've got into. Jesus keeping us from straying off the narrow path perhaps and onto the broad. Yet we're not tethered to him by a rope. We are free to roam spiritually, whatever that might mean. I'm not going to say a lot about that because we're looking at exactly the same 3 verses next week from the perspective of the sheep. So I'm trying not to stray onto too much of that. But that sense that God will protect us, and some of us have amazing stories of how we have experienced God's protection from physical danger. as well as him drawing us back to himself, calling us by name, as we were thinking about earlier, to keep us following him. And that leads on to that third aspect of the shepherd, that the shepherd seeks out the sheep when they're lost. If a shepherd, who in the pure job physical sense loses the sheep or can't find all the sheep, they will go and try and find them or keep calling them, as that shepherd was doing earlier. And the reason they do that is because they're valuable. They are the shepherd's livelihood. Today, as it was for the Romans, each individual sheep is worth money. And it's the same spiritually. In Ezekiel 34 and verse 11, we see that God is criticizing human shepherds, and this is a sort of spiritual aspect, as it were, because they're not been caring for the people who are under their care. And he says that he will seek them out himself. He will go and find those who've been scattered because of lack of care or for other reasons. We think of the parable that Jesus told in Luke 15, parable of the lost sheep. That there, he's got 100 sheep, 99 of them say one missing. Jesus will leave the 99 and go out and seek that one individual shepherd because he cares for each one of those in his flock, under his care, as individuals. And he knows them, and he knows where to find them, and will spend time seeking them out so that he can bring them back into the fold. I actually have two contracts in the school in which I work. One is a 0.6 or something like that, a bit more, teaching contract, and I love that. But I also have another contract, which actually is more than the 0.4 that adds on to 0.6 to make one. But anyway, which is a support role. It's a non-teaching contract. I'm responsible for making sure on a daily basis that there is an adult in front of every group of children, every class. Somebody way higher up than me actually sorts out the timetable. But if somebody is off, whether that's a planned absence or an unplanned absence, then I'm responsible at 7:30 in the morning, which is why I don't work from 9 till 3:30, for making sure that there are people in every classroom. We, as a school, are fortunate in employing two cover supervisors, so my first port of call is one of them to replace the normal teacher. Sometimes that is myself. Rarely, you have to be a teacher to understand that word. It is the a teacher who has a timetable who will come in and take that class. Very occasionally, I have to hire from an agency a supply teacher if there's a lot of people off, as there have been for the last 2 weeks. And sheep, or pupils, they're not keen on change. They'd rather have the teacher they know. The one who knows them and who understands them as individuals. And the supply teacher who's there particularly just for the day, good though they often are, and we've had some excellent ones lately, they're not invested in the same way. They don't prepare the lesson. They don't know the pupils by name, so there's no personal relationship with them. They don't mark their books. And if there's a problem, they pass that problem on to somebody who is permanent within the school. And if a class or they find several classes really difficult, they can choose not to come back the next day. The hired worker, the hired shepherd, doesn't have the same commitment to the sheep as the good shepherd. When Jesus here in John 10 says he is the good shepherd, he's talking to people who were steeped in Old Testament scripture. People who knew that Jehovah God, the God of the covenant, was their shepherd. And that so Jesus is therefore saying that he is their shepherd, as he was the shepherd of no other people. Jesus is identifying himself with that Old Testament view of Scripture of the shepherd. And to the Jewish person, that would meant only one thing. Jesus is saying, I am God. And then Jesus goes on to indicate the leading characteristic of the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. A real shepherd looking after real sheep may well risk his life for those sheep because they are his livelihood. And that makes him a good shepherd. But Jesus as good shepherd goes further than that. He dies for his sheep. And he's saying that the good shepherd comes to give a voluntary sacrifice of himself. He says later on in this passage that he lays down his life. It's not taken or wrested from him. He gives it freely, voluntarily, for the world, for each one of us. Fullness of life, which is that phrase in the centre of John 10, that is the overarching theme to this series leading up to Easter, comes from and is experienced by knowing personally the Good Shepherd and knowing that he voluntarily gave his life for the world, for each one of us, and that he gives his life still because he came back to life and sits in heaven at God's right hand, pleading for us, representing us, and still, like a shepherd, providing for all our needs from heaven. And that's the reason, the why and the wherefore and the what we have in front of us now on this table. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your word and Jesus as the word. Coming to us and saying one of those great I am statements. I am the good shepherd. Identifying himself with you. Providing for us, those of us who seek to follow him, those of us who've recognized our need, who've heard your voice calling, who've known that we've needed to lay before you our lives that are not great, selfish, sinful. And yet, because of your giving of your life, of your shedding of blood and giving of your body, that sacrificial lamb, we can be made right with you and have a relationship as Father-Child with a holy, almighty God. Help us to understand more and more each day how much you love us and how much you seek to look after us and to take care of us and to provide for all our needs. As that good shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen.